When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to PFF Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Ian Hartitz, and joining me, as he always does on this lovely Friday afternoon to talk all things injuries, Nick Botiford at Nick Botiford NFL. Nick, great day, be great, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Ian?
Not good, man. There's injuries all over the damn place. Everything we, you know, practice, we preach for the first 4 days of the week. Not all of it's out the window, but damn it, a lot of it is. So, you know, normal Friday in the NFL world. We'll roll with the punches as always, get you guys figured out with the new right moves to make in Fantasyland. As always on this episode of the PFF Fantasy Football Podcast, going quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. Appreciate YouTubers out there listening to us live. Feel free to throw some questions in the comments. We'll try to get to as many of those as possible. Realize though, we do have a good order here and we will get to all these players. So I'm not ignoring you if that's the case, but Nick, let's start things off with the biggest name of the week, and that is going to be Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert. Officially questionable with the ribs injury, but the big disclaimer here is that he did not take first-team reps on Friday. That went to Chase Daniel, the real-life Alex Moran. Even the bigger, I think, just obvious takeaway here is that the Chargers' spread has moved from them being 7-point favorites to only 3-point favorites. Honestly, kind of, I'm not sure if that reflects the fact that Herbert could still play, because I would have thought it would have been an even bigger drop-off just going from Herbert to Chase Daniel. Can't overstate how terrible this would be for everyone in this offense. This is already an offense that a lot of smart football minds have critique about not being aggressive enough, but Justin Herbert makes it work because he's Justin freaking Herbert. Going from Herbert to Chase Daniel, I equate that to going from Dak Prescott to Cooper Rush. Like, this is a situation now where, yes, you keep Austin Ekeler in all your fantasy starting lineups, with Keenan Allen shaping up as a game time decision. I think Mike Williams should be in every starting lineup. Other than that, though, Nick, I am fine with not really dipping our toes into the Chargers' waters this week.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we might find out that the Cooper Rush comp is even generous.
I know. That would honestly be worst case, but it's possible. That's Chase Daniel. We have not gotten anything out of him his entire career. I think he's had 8 touchdowns, and yeah, fair play to the guy. He gets freaking paid. It keeps happening, but yeah, this is a 4 o'clock kickoff here in LA. So if you have Justin Herbert on your squad, I would really be trying to look elsewhere immediately. You cannot trust him to be suiting up. I think the obvious ad would be Marcus Mariota, because they got that game in Seattle at the same time. So you wouldn't necessarily be sacrificing quite as much, but yeah, Marcus Mariota, I would say top waiver wire ad for rosters that now suddenly need to replace Justin Herbert. And yeah, also Keenan Allen, not a guarantee. We'll get to him more there in a bit. With the Buccaneers, Tom Brady. So this was interesting. He doesn't have an injury designation, but he popped up on Friday, and they're basically saying the ring finger on his right hand is messed up. Not ideal, Nick. Got to kind of throw the football, and with that going on now, I think it'd be possible to expect Brady to be operating at less than 100%, and we already know his wide receiver room is freaking shattered at the moment. Last week, he wasn't showing signs of like falling off in terms of his own ability. I mean, just really throwing one good ball after another. Scotty Miller had a couple near catches. Beautiful touchdown on Breshad Perriman. But by God, like, even Perriman's questionable. Gage is questionable. Evans is out. Goblin's out. Scotty Miller was on the injury report this week. Like, it's so many injuries, man. I was already teetering on even just treating Brady as a low-end QB1. Now that he's hurt too. Like, I'm updating my ranks after we record this. I had Tom Brady as QB 11 going into this. At this point, man, I'm probably going to drop him down. Like, who would you start this week, man? Marcus Mariota or Tom Brady?
Mariota.
Yeah, I think so too. What about Brady and Jameis? This is like the area I'm kind of looking.
I think so, because I think that Winston is going to attempt far more passes.
I'm going to move Brady down that low end QB2 range. Do not be afraid to get him on the bench for right now. Better days are going to be ahead. Again, this is not, I'm not worried about Tom Brady's first 2 weeks of him finally losing the father time. It's just you take away literally the top two, maybe even top three. Oh, forgot to mention Julio Jones is a game time decision too. There's another player. You take away any quarterback's top three receivers, and we're going to be having the same conversation about moving them down in the ranks. A couple of situations though, that we can breeze through. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson briefly terrified all of Twitter with the compression sleeve on his right elbow. He's fine though, expecting to be his usual magical self ahead of week three's matchup against the Patriots. Dak Prescott expecting to miss another game. Cooper Rush though under center. Jameis Winston is listed as questionable, but we're fully expecting him to play through those fractures in his back. Again, supposed to be more of a pain tolerance issue as opposed to anything that's really going to limit what he can do out there. Also, Jets quarterback Zach Wilson missing another week. Joe Flacco remains under center. So that's the quarterback conversation. Let's talk a little running back here. Unfortunately, several more that we're just not going to know more about until Sunday morning. First off, Saints running back Alvin Kamara, officially questionable with the rib injury. He did practice all week, though, in a limited fashion. But, Nick, last week when we were talking at this time, he was coming off some DMPs and certainly seemed on the wrong side of questionable. If active, I think you said it best last week. It's Alvin Kamara. If he's active, he's too big of a part of the offense to not be in your starting lineup. If he's not active, I want nothing to do with this three-back committee that's going to be going on behind him. If anything, Nick, like just with Kamara in this shape, I like Jameis in this passing game this week, man. Going up against the Panthers defense, you know, their speedster cornerback one, Dante Jackson. He's questionable with a hamstring injury. Man, I know you have some weekly DFS content out there. Like when I was kind of doing some shows today, looking at the slate, Saints passing game is where it's at this week.
Yeah, yeah, it is. We all know about the Olave air yards at this point. I think I've got Michael Thomas up like high-end wide receiver too. You might be able to make the case that he should be in the wide receiver ones, like back end. But yeah, it should be easy for them.
I am making that case. Wide receiver 11 on the week, and you look at his DraftKings price, he's like 5,800 or something. Like he is, in my opinion, like the two most mispriced receivers that jumped out to me were Stephon Diggs, who, yeah, it was a Monday night thing. That happens a lot. But then Michael Thomas, man, like what more evidence do we need here? It was, you know, on Sundays, I tweet so damn much that I try to like save some at night when I'm like finally like kind of doing some stat stuff. So I like to schedule the tweets throughout the morning, Nick. It makes it look like I just never sleep. I like to keep it mysterious as a, there's a good quote from Roger Sterling on Mad Men back in the day. Like nobody knows what I'm doing back here. It's good for the mystique. But I accidentally scheduled a tweet for like Friday morning instead of Monday morning. It was just Michael Thomas without Drew Brees, man. He's now had like 12 games over the years with Teddy Bridgewater, with Taysom Hill, and now with Jameis Winston. And every single time he keeps putting up bigger and better numbers than ever. So in this same passing game, yeah, Olave sitting down there 4,500. Jarvis Landry still exists. Taysom Hill's now banged up, so maybe Juwan Johnson gets going again. Really like them like this week, again, against a Panthers team that seems closer and closer to quitting on Matt Rule by the week. Can't say I blame them. Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey, absolutely fine. I'm just getting annoyed at Carolina for putting him on the injury report in the first place and then immediately telling us he's fine because Twitter does not know how to just chill for 10 minutes. So that's life there, but he's fine. Continue to start him in 100% of fantasy leagues. Obviously, don't need me to tell you that. Cardinals running back James Conner, he does appear to be a true game-time decision. Now, Cliff Kingsbury calls everyone game-time decisions. Conner did manage to get in two limited practices at the end of the week. We've consistently heard that's not an issue. Like, Nick, if Conner's out there, I'll probably bump him down a little bit, maybe more like RB 16 to 18 range, put him a little closer to David Montgomery than I'm used to doing. It should still be in most starting lineups, though. Unfortunately, if he's not out there, between Eno Benjamin and Darrell Williams, not really anyone we can feel good about.
I agree. I think I fall on the other side of the fence from you. I think that I would go with Darrell Williams if I have to choose one of them. Mm-hmm. I have Connor's RB 17 this week.
It's really tough because Darrell, if you just look at their usage last week, Darrell did have some of the more fantasy-friendly goal line snaps and things. Just a one-week sample. In week one, we thought Eno was the guy because he was the only one that came in and played after Connor got taken out of the game. But then again, that was kind of more in blowout script. So maybe that was an indictment in and of itself that Eno was playing over Darrell. So would really rather avoid them both. I think it's a fair point to maybe go with Darrell in full PPR though otherwise. All right, Ravens running back J.K. Dobbins practiced in full all week. Again, he's listed as questionable. Again, you cannot trust him if he's active. Again, same thing with Michael Gallup. Like, even if these guys come back, and it's good that they are seemingly both on the verge of coming back, let's just get 1 week in before we do anything. I'll continue to answer the majority of close start sit questions involving Dobbins with the other guy, and in similar New Orleans, can't trust his three-headed committee behind him. Even Kenyon Drake, I want nothing to do with them. Find someone better. Buccaneers running back Leonard Fournette listed as questionable with that hamstring injury. Practice all week in a limited fashion. This happened last week. Fully expecting Lenny to be out there and maintaining his usual RB1 caliber workload. Rashad White instantly, though, in the RB2 conversation if Fournette ever gets sidelined. He should not be on any waiver wires. With the Lions, DeAndre Swift officially questionable with the ankle injury. Didn't get into full practice all week. Nick, have you heard anything about Swift's reps being managed again? Because they really were last week. Now, he busted a run for 50 yards, and he somehow turned that swing pass into a 30-yard touchdown. So we know what the guy can do, but are you expecting Swift to hopefully be back more to his normal role this week?
So I'm not worried about it because the Minnesota Vikings front, is you can run on it. So even if he is limited, like I'm not really panicking, but no, I mean, I think that they'll keep managing him. They have Jamal Williams there. So I think that they'll manage his reps for as long as they need to.
And once again, similar to Kamara, similar to James Conner, it's just going to be awfully difficult to keep Swift out of any starting lineup. Last week when I was getting the start sit questions with him, I want to say I went with Swift like every single time. If you have a lineup that shouldn't have DeAndre Swift, like you have such a freaking good problem to have that, you know, you really shouldn't even be throwing that out there in the public. You know, a lot of people have it worse off than you. No need to be rubbing that in the face. Hey, Eric, what are we talking about here with Devin Singletary? Did I miss something here? You guys can't be doing this to me in an injury show. I think Devin Singletary is fine. Shout out Devin Singletary. All right, here's the real problem going on, guys. Raiders running back Josh Jacobs. He's listed as questionable with the illness. He missed practice on Thursday and Friday. We got word that he is not even traveling with the Raiders on their trip to Nashville to face the Titans. So this basically, like, I'm expecting now to get to Saturday downgraded to out news, because this is usually what happens after we get news like this. I guess, Nick, technically it's not impossible that Jacobs can get on a plane tomorrow. I can't ever remember a time though where the guy missed the first flight and went on to play though. Can you?
I feel like I recall one time, and it was like a Brady level player or something. Okay. Like that, but that's not what we're talking about here. So no, I would be pretty shocked. No, actually it might have been a Gronk issue. Anyway, yeah. No, I can't imagine that they send him like the following day on a bus or something. No.
I do. Yeah, I think you're right about the Gronk thing. I don't remember the specifics, but I remember he did have a couple of these flight issues going on. So with that in mind, Brandon Bolden is good to go with the hamstring. I think he takes his pass down roll back from Amir Abdullah, and then I think Zamir White takes over the heavy majority of work that Josh Jacobs was getting. This is why handcuff backfields and just these committees in general are so tough to parse through sometimes. But Brandon Bolden, like the last time he had 10 carries in a game was back in 2015. Like, I just think that we would have seen anything, you know, in the recent future when Josh McDaniels has continuously been coaching this guy, that they treat him as anything other than the situational pass down back. So Amir Abdullah could make this more into a committee. I do think having Zamir White on your fantasy rosters right now, he is the best guy I would put ahead of, you know, just these other two with Josh Jacobs. It is a chance, though, that we see a committee. So I don't think Zamir White is this, like, Alexander Mattison type of player where it's like Tony Pollard. Like, we don't need to squeeze him in the lineups of all shapes and sizes, but it's certainly looking on the up and up. Like, hey, our guy Eric listening just mentioned Devin Singletary. I think I would probably start Zamir White over Devin Singletary right now, Nick. It's close, but that's about good. The range.
Yeah, just a note. I messaged Nathan Yonke about the Raiders backfield situation, and he didn't necessarily take a stance. I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but the final line in what he sent me back was, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a three-man committee rather than two. Now, again, he's not taking a stance, but that was his, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do know Amir Abdullah a little bit more capable of handling some rushing work, I think, than what they'll necessarily try to put on Brandon Bolden's plate. So right now, again, looking at the ranks, we haven't gotten words. Like, this is what pissed me off about reporters and beat writers, man. Because every single reporter is just going to repeat the same damn thing that the Raiders just told us, that Josh Jacobs is questionable. He didn't make the team flight. And now we just need to cross our fingers that one of these experts, one of these insiders can tell us what is actually going to happen now with the backfield, instead of just repeating the news that we can all see from the Raiders themselves, but we have this weird freaking inclination in society to have other people repeat the same information and call it reporting the news, Nick. It pisses me off every single time. They're inside the organization. Tell us who the other running back is going to be. And if you don't know, what the hell are you doing during practice all week long?
They're practicing they're being nice to the team. That's how they're getting in there.
You start scrolling on some of these national reporters' Twitters and go back a week, man, and find me like how many things they actually say aren't just copied like word for word from the official team accounts. Like, please, anything. You have the resources. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we get more news on Zamir White and his projected backfield rotation. I do lean towards Nathan with it being three players. So last week it was like 75-25 in favor of Jacobs. I would guess something like 50-60 in favor of Zamir White, and then Bolden and Abdullah splitting the rest. So Zamir White, someone that I'm going to have ranked, I would say, one spot ahead of Devin Singletary. He's right there with Damian Pierce, and he's Damian Pierce in a better offense. I now feel like I have cracked the Zamir White code. I'm happy we talked that through, Nick. So low, mid-tier RB3. Don't need to force him into starting lineups. But, hey, someone that I think we're going to look up, and he's going to have 15 or more combined carries and targets. Is that fair?
Okay. I think 15 is probably high. Just for clarity's sake on what Nathan said, he called back to the Hall of Fame game and everybody should go make their own judgments on that. But there was some split usage there. I think 15 would probably be a lot. Maybe you're hoping for 10. Like, I feel like he's a touchdown or bust kind of play. And it's maybe just like 10 carries. And if he's the guy that they dial up inside the 10 or inside the 5, then you win that week. But otherwise, I don't know that he has a huge upside here.
If Kenyon Drake was still on this roster, I'd be completely out. But again, just what we're seeing with Bolden and Abdullah being the two guys they brought in this offseason, and they've always been very clear pass down backs to me. So I do think Zamir White has always been the handcuff for Josh Jacobs. I think we're going to see that here. Warranted RB3 option. All right, final note here. 49ers running back Tyrion Davis-Price expecting to miss multiple weeks here with this ankle issue. Jeff Wilson, strong candidate to see 20-plus touches, man. Like, seriously. TDP, Elijah Mitchell out. Trey Lance is sidelined. Like, maybe Mason comes in and gets something. But even then, we saw last week, Jeff Wilson was clearly the guy ahead of TDP. And he was clearly the guy ahead of Mason. So if anything, man, I wouldn't be surprised if it's more so just Jeff and Debo with a little bit of Kyle juice check here and there. But Jeff Wilson is someone that I think when we, you know, went out and got him off the waiver wire in week one, no, we weren't treating it like Elijah Mitchell last year necessarily, but now after these other round of injuries that happened in week two, you're feeling really good about Jeff Wilson this week. I have him as my RB19 ahead of guys like CPAT, Kareem Hunt, who already played, but Stevenson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, amongst others. Let's talk some wide receivers now. Bills wide receiver, Gabriel Davis, seemingly on the right side of questionable after practicing in a limited fashion all week. He is still dealing with that ankle injury. Ooh. The Jake Kumerow thing is messing with my mind a little bit here, Nick, because just the fact that they played him ahead of Isaiah McKenzie and Jamison Crowder there last time we saw him on Monday night, I do wonder if we could see all these guys rotating a little bit if Davis isn't back at 100%. With that said, man, this is just a shootout waiting to happen. Both these secondaries are all kinds of banged up. Gabriel Davis should be in the overwhelming majority of starting lineups.
I fully agree. Yeah.
Looking at, you know, just the overall rankings of it, if you want to start looking at him versus guys like Allen Robinson, like Adam Thielen, Bateman, that's fine. I'd probably give him the slight nod on all of them. I'm looking at about wide receiver 22 ranking right now. Seems pretty fair. With the Colts, they are getting their wide receivers back. Michael Pittman back from missing last week with a quad issue. Alec Pierce also back from the concussion. Pierce being back means he's going to be splitting more with Ashton Doolin. Neither of them are realistic options. Michael Pittman cemented as a top 12 wide receiver anytime he's healthy enough to suit up. So go back to the well there. With the Chargers, mentioned this briefly in the Herbert discussion, but Keenan Allen listed as questionable. He didn't practice on Friday. Brandon Staley said he was 50-50. Really have a backup option. I would not, like, if you have even like a wide receiver 3 type, if it's between like a Garrett Wilson or a Devontae Smith or something like that versus Keenan Allen, because you got to make the decision because the 4 o'clock start, I would take the guy we're more convinced in playing. Like, Nick, based on what we're seeing, reading between the lines, I don't expect Keenan Allen to play this week.
I agree. No, if they gave first team reps to Chase Daniel on Friday, like that's, I would be really surprised if Justin Herbert is playing. I thought he was going to end up playing, but that's a pretty an indicating move. A note on the Colts wide receivers here. I did write up Pierce as an avoid this week. Rashad Fenton, cornerback for Kansas City Chiefs. He is just a straight baller, and he's the guy who's projected to be covering Pierce this week. He's interesting because he's like theoretically the number two there, and it's a strange passing game. But I'm way off of him, and I'm very much in on Pittman as a wide receiver one.
Taylor Pittman, and we don't need to talk about anyone else in this offense. Maybe for the rest of the season, the way things are going right now. Normally, without Keenan in the picture, Joshua Palmer would be a viable wide receiver three. But when you take Justin Herbert out of it, it changes everything. And we've seen this, throughout the year. I talked about the Cowboys and Patriots backfields a little bit, and how when you all of a sudden you don't have the top six scoring offense attached to these things, we need to adjust our expectations accordingly. So, pre-Justin Herbert concern, I had Josh Palmer as my wide receiver 35. As I look at it now, I think he's going to be closer to wide receiver 50. With the Broncos, Jerry Jeudy, officially questionable with a rib and shoulder. I saw a note from Underdog NFL, love our friends over there, Nick, where it was that he expects to play. Was that out of Judy's mouth that he said that?
I don't know. I didn't see that. All I got was that he was questionable today.
I believe Jerry Jeudy expects to play, and I do trust those guys enough. Yeah, Jerry Jeudy ribs expects to play in week three, and we also got from Zach Stevens. He said if he feels the way he does today, he won't even need any extra padding. Fantastic. Jerry Jeudy, there you go. Slot him in as that, low-end borderline wide receiver too, maybe even higher. But, yeah, I would not have – because they are the Sunday night game, Broncos 49ers. If Jerry Judy's your starting wide receiver, go ahead and go with Jerry Jeudy if you think he should be the higher-ranked guy. I'm not factoring in that injury into the discussion after seeing that. KJ Hamler is questionable with the knee and hip injury that we don't – apparently wasn't really a setback, but could be a setback because why did he not play? Regardless, can't trust him this week. Tyree Cleveland also questionable. Kendall Hinton's going to be the next man up there, but more than anything, it should just be the Cortland Sutton show. Fire him up in lineups of all shapes and sizes. Here's a really disgusting one, Nick. We got Chris Godwin, hamstring, out. Mike Evans, suspension, out. Julio Jones, knee, true game time decision. Russell Gage, hamstring, questionable. Rashad Perryman, knee, questionable. I think Gage and Perryman are going to play. Scotty Miller was also banged up. But right now, like, we could legitimately have three wide receiver sets. The top four wide receivers could be Rashad Perryman, Scotty Miller, Russell Gage, and Cole Beasley. I don't know if I'm going to have any – Russell Gage, like, right now for me is my wide receiver 50. I might bump him up a spot or two if all these other guys are out. But, man, like, it just sucks. It's crazy that we have all these injuries and we can't get behind any of them as Tom Brady's wide receiver one. But, unfortunately, that's reality, Nick. It's Leonard Fournette in this offense right now, and I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I agree. They've had a bunch of injuries on the interior of the offensive line, and Gage is going to have to work against Rasul Douglas and then sometimes Jair Alexander. Both of those guys are top five in PFF coverage grade this year. I think we start the running backs in this one, and then we don't bother with the rest.
Takes us to quickly those Packers wide receivers. Alan Lazard is good to go. Hey, if you are going to start one wide receiver from these games, I think it probably should be Alan Lazard. Then, though, we're looking at more of a wide receiver three type. I do have him ranked wide receiver 28. That's a little high as I, say it out loud to all you lovely listeners right now. But, even then, it'd be tough for me to move him down too much further. Solid wide receiver three, not somebody you need to force in the lineup, though. I mean, this game total has crashed, man, from like 48, 49. Last I saw was at 42. So, he's going to play, but Sammy Watkins is out, and Randall Cobb, as well as Christian Watson, are questionable with an illness and hamstring injury, respectively. So Romeo Doubs should see a bump, but once again, it's just an offense that you look at the box score after the game, and a bunch of guys have, only three or four targets. So if you don't have any of Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady's receivers in your starting lineup, probably a good thing. Never thought I'd let those words, come out of my mouth, but here we are, Nick. Week three in 2022, we're already saying crazy shit like that. One guy that you can maybe try to get if you need a replacement, for some of these receivers, Patriots wide receiver Jacoby Myers. I'm guessing he's on most rosters, but some of these smaller leagues, who knows? With the knee injury, he did return to practice on Friday and tentatively expecting to play through the questionable tag. Fine enough wide receiver four in full PPR scoring. One interesting one, Nick, I'd like your take on this. Treylon Burks is fine. He had a little ankle injury, but Kyle Phillips listed as doubtful with that shoulder issue. Burks, man, whole offseason has gone wrong, but we're finally starting to get a little hype here. His usage is moving in the right direction. And just in the brief times we've seen him on the field, he, I don't want to say completely lives up to the hype. A lot of people were putting, you know, Josh Gordon mixed with, you know, A.J. Brown type of stuff into the Treylon Burks comps that were getting a little wonky there for a bit. But I think Burks now, wide receiver four territory, like this Titans-Raiders game, sneaky shootout in my opinion. And with some of this running back issues going on with Raiders, maybe we do see them forced to throw the ball more. Overall thoughts on Treylon Burks this week and moving forward?
Yeah, I put him in one of my five wide receivers to target this week. The situation is so pulling the curtain back here, Ian and I were messaging, or I was messaging Ian about Nate Hobbs and whether he had been asked to travel or shadow cover AJ Green last week. He didn't shadow cover him. He just lined up on the same side a bunch because Cliff Kingsbury doesn't move his wide receivers around. But it did get me thinking that he might be more concerned with the veteran wide receivers rather than the young guy. So I broke it down in this piece, but the main takeaway here is that I don't think Burks is actually going to have to work against Nate Hobbs very often. I'm very high on Kyle Phillips. And so the fact that he's out, I think we're just going to get more targets for Burks. And I kind of think that this is Burks' breakout week. If you don't mind, I do want to pose a question to you, though. For people who might be working on trying to figure out late swap, or rather even in like redraft leagues, let's say you've got Mike Williams and Jerry Jeudy. Which one of those two guys are you, like, if we find out that Justin Herbert's not playing, are you moving off Mike Williams to Jerry Jeudy, or is it still BMW over Jeudy?
I would go Mike over Jeudy if Keenan Allen's also confirmed out. If Keenan Allen's back, then I think I would go with Jeudy over Mike. Cool. Is that fair?
Yeah.
That was for sure a personal question by you too, right?
No. I just thought of it while we were going. I'm all in on Cortland Sutton. I don't really have any in Jeudy in all my leagues. So
man? I pull that shit all the time. I remember last year I was trying to do this like trade with my buddy. And I was like live podcast with Dwayne. I just like started going through it with him. And like I did the trade, and then my buddy heard the episode the next day and he was like, "You mother." But
that's funny.
You gotta worry about number one sometimes, Nick. But
that's fair, yeah.
Ravens wide receiver Devin Duvernay, good to go, clear the concussion protocol. Still a pretty thin play overall. I mean, this passing game is going to be going through Bateman and Mark Andrews. But, hey, three touchdowns in, you know, 2 weeks. One of them was a kick return. Sorry, not sorry. The guy's really good at football. James Proch is questionable with the groin. So, sneaky GPP play potentially for Duvernay. But, again, I think we probably already saw his best games. Cowboys wide receiver Michael Gallup, tentatively expected to suit up, which is great news. Snap count all but confirmed, and it's Monday night. So, no, don't start Gallup this week. If you happen to see him on the waiver wire, go get him, because the days are going to be here where we are starting him soon. You know, can't do it this week, but good news overall with him coming back. With the Cardinals, Rondale Moore, hamstring out. DeAndre Hopkins still suspended for Beaver tranquilizers. Antoine Wesley on IR with the groin injury. Marquise Brown, Greg Dortch, and A.J. Green continuing to make up the three wide receiver sets. Honestly, it's Marquise Brown, Zach Ertz, and then pretty close to everyone else. And, Nick, just the whole Greg Dortch thing, man, like, I'm not a big victory lapper to begin with, but can we just say we were right on Rondale Moore at this point? Like, if Greg freaking Dortch is doing all this, what would Rondale Moore be doing right now? This is pissing me off.
Yeah, fair enough.
Rondale, Tim Patrick, Trey Lance. I wanted to see it, man. If we were going to fail, I'll go down with the ship and we'll fail, but we didn't even get a chance. Shout out, though, by the way, I've been having this up for a minute. Sleeper of the day is, in fact, Treylon Burks. Shout out to our lovely sponsors over at Sleeper. Love you guys. All right, Packers wide receiver, Lazard is good to go. I mentioned that. Watkins out. Cobb, Watson, and are questionable. Romeo Dobbs should be up. Jets wide receiver, Corey Davis. Midweek addition in the injury report, but we did get, you know, again, shout out to Underdog NFL. He is tentatively expected to play through this knee injury. So still expecting him to annoyingly be out there. Maybe he'll do good things, but Corey Davis is just now kind of like a Melvin Gordon type player where he can do really great things and we're just going to ignore him because we kind of wish his teammates were doing those instead. So still Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore expecting to be the top guys. But when Corey's out there, man, he does just kind of lower that ceiling for everyone involved. I do like the potential for Elijah Moore bounce back week. The process was right last week, Nick. I'm gonna go with that. Let's not get completely off of Elijah Moore, guys like him and Kyle Pitts just yet. Chiefs wide receiver Mecole Hardman, not even listed on the final injury report with that heel issue, should be the clear-cut number three behind Juju and MVS. Bears wide receiver Velus Jones listed as doubtful with the hamstring injury. Darnell Mooney, the only wide receiver you can even think about throwing in the lineup, and even then, meh. Raiders wide receiver Hunter Renfrow out with the concussion. I don't think there's going to be a single receiver necessarily step into that starting lineup, Nick. I think it'll be Davante Adams and Matt Collins, and maybe just two tight end usage with Darren Waller and Foster Moreau. Shocking to see Darren Waller's usage last week. Like, what, he played 56% of the snaps? Now, he got out there and they threw him the ball, so it is what it is. But hopefully, man, we just at least see him out there all the time. This could maybe be a sneaky, again, this Titans-Raiders game, maybe I'm just paying too much attention to it, but I feel like this could be a situation where we see both Adams and Waller finally, you know, get those double-digit target shares in a game where it makes sense if they don't want to run the ball without Josh Jacobs. Did Derek Carr, Adams, Waller, is that one of those DFS tournament lineups you're a fan of?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And what's neat about Renfro being the one that's out is I don't think that Hollins is going to slide into the slot very often. So I think it's just going to be Adams and Waller kind of cycling between the perimeter and the slot. And you know, we like that.
Absolutely. Adams down week just seems inevitable that he bounces back in a major way. Dolphins wide receiver Cedric Wilson is questionable. We don't care because the offense goes through Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Quez Watkins, good to go with the illness. Good for him. Wandale Robinson continues to miss practice with the knee. Kadarius Toney, hamstring downgraded to a DNP on Friday. I still can't quit Toney. I don't know why I can't quit Toney. I can't even rationalize it to myself, but I just can't. But my God, you cannot start either of these guys on Monday night. And if you don't want them on your roster, like, you're very, very warranted to do so. I will not call you that person or anything. Saints wide receivers, Traquan Smith and Deontay Hardy, both good to go. Clear backups. Rams wide receiver, Van Jefferson, again out. Ben Skrolnick takes a spot in three wide receiver sets. But more than anything, Matthew Stafford condenses his target share around Kupp, Allen Robinson, Tyler Higbee. All three of those guys, man, Higby and A-Rob included, I think should be in the majority of lineups this week. This Cardinals defense, as bad as the Cardinals offense has looked in the first half, I think the Cardinals secondary, just in general, pass defense, has looked worse this entire season. Like, pick a stat, any stat, they're going to be a bottom five group. Really love Stafford. Over 272.5, I believe, passing yards. That's the prop this week. Love, love, love that over. All right, guys, tight end, George Kittle back, not listed on the injury report, and he's going to need to play probably a full-time role with Tyler Kroft, his backup, actually already ruled out. Again, as shitty as the Trey Lance injury is for Trey Lance and the 49ers, I think best-case ambitions, having Jimmy G right now in the year 2022, objectively better for all these skill position guys. So George Kittle immediately back in as a top-five option I think he could have a really big game on Sunday night as I try to say some triple negative bullshit. So Bills tight end, Dawson Knox, he is questionable with the foot injury, but he does seem to have a good chance to play after getting him back-to-back limited practices to end the week. Don't really need to worry about this one because he is playing at 1:00. So I think he's good to go. Feel fine about Dawson Knox, weekly low-end touchdown-dependent tight end one. Less good one to feel about is Cowboys tight end Dalton Schultz with that PCL injury. Did not practice on Thursday or Friday. We'll find out his official designation tomorrow. Try to get like a Tyler Higbee or someone like that, though, versus Jake Ferguson. Like, if you need to on Monday night, and maybe Schultz is like a game time call, okay. But I would really try to go, you know, with one of these other guys playing on Sunday before trying to worry about that. This Cowboys-Giants game is going to be gross on Monday night, but football is football. Lions tight end T.J. Hockenson, questionable with the hip, practiced in a limited fashion all week. Still think that he's going to be out there. I'm treating Hockenson just kind of like Dawson Knox, where I'm not overly worried about it. A few more situations here. Bengals tight end Hayden Hurst, truly questionable with a groin injury. He got downgraded from full to limited on Friday. So backup Drew Sample has already been ruled out with a knee injury. We could see Devin Asiasi, the Patriots third rounder from a few weeks ago, with a near every down roll. I'm fine throwing a DFS dart at him. I'm guessing he's at 2,500, and that's, you know, a nice way to get off the probable Juwan Johnson chalk. But, you know, redraft, let's chill out on these backup tight ends. It's not like the handcuff running backs, where even those, we talked about Zamir White, like those can be different from team to team, but tight ends and wide receivers, like expecting the next guy up to just take the same sort of target share, usually wishful thinking. This one's interesting to me, Nick, because with the Dolphins, we saw Mike Gesicki have a nice little game for himself last week. Great catch in the back of the end zone. His problem has just been getting on the field because they're kind of trying to put, you know, square peg in a round hole with forcing him in line. Might not have much of a choice right now. We had Shaheen in the preseason get put on IR. Now Hunter Long with the ankle injury and Seathan Carter are both out. They might not have much of a choice to play Mike Gesicki this week on a lot of snaps, and he's now facing a Bills defense that is already out with Tre'Davious White. They have two defensive tackles out, and they could be out both of their starting safeties. Mike Gesicki, man, someone that I think that I've been down on a lot of the offseason because of all the issues he had getting on the field. Well, hell, you take away the three issues in front of him in the depth chart, and all of a sudden I'm back in on Mike Gesicki here.
Yep, I think it's fair. He's not a great fit for the system, but this is like a perfect smash spot for him. And both Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde have been ruled out.
They did take Poyer out for sure. I thought it was questionable. Either way, I mean.
From what I saw earlier, yeah, he was already ruled out.
Micah Hyde, yeah, and then Jordan Phillips and Ed Oliver as well on that defensive line. So, yeah, Dolphins secondary and the Bills secondary, all kinds of banged up. Hopefully get a good old-fashioned shootout there in Miami. Ravens tight end Isaiah likely officially questionable with a groin injury. Was only going to really be interested in him if Devin Duvernay was sidelined, but he's not. So with likely, hey, he'll look pretty good, you know, on his three or four targets if he's healthy enough to be out there. Jets tight end CJ Uzomah looks like he's ready to return. He got into full practice on Friday, still listed as questionable, but with Uzomah back, hopefully you weren't in the position where you needed to play Tyler Conklin, but sadly, if you were, he is looking like, you know, a much worse play now that CJ Uzomah is back in the picture. Chargers tight end Donald Parham is questionable with his hamstring injury. He did practice in a limited fashion all week, though. So I do think that Gerald Everett, like, he's still going to be a tight end one every single week. But if we take away Justin Herbert, we start adding back Donald Parham, I would all of a sudden be going with other options over Gerald Everett. So Everett, I had ranked as my tight end 10 before, you know, this week and before Justin Herbert became now a severe risk of not playing. Probably looking at bumping him behind guys like Logan Thomas, like Evan Engram, like even Irv Smith. So Gerald Everett for me, without Justin Herbert in the picture, much more of a middling tight end too, especially with Parham potentially coming back. That fair to you, Nick?
Yeah, I wrote up Everett as a DFS play, but it was only if Herbert was going to be active, and yeah, that ship has sunk.
For sure. All right. Texas tight end Brevin Jordan out with an ankle injury. And Farrell Brown is questionable with the shoulder. Maybe, just maybe, week one hero OJ Howard, you know, getting this full-time role now. The amount of like min-price tight ends we're going to have a potential chance to choose from is complete madness. But generally, you know, shouldn't be going this far down into the dumpster to go get your season-long guy. Again, you know, I think there's a pretty consensus. Like my tight end ranks, like after the top, I'll just go through it real quick. Kelsey, Andrews, Waller, Pitts, Goddard, Ertz, Knox. Like, I don't think that's too crazy. Tyler Higbee, he's still on a lot of waiver wires, surprisingly. If he's out there and you need to, you know, fill in a spot for one of these guys, definitely get him. Oh, yeah, and Kittle obviously needs to be in there now that he is playing, so that's great. After Higbee, Hockenson, yes, we had Freiermuth play last night. Logan Thomas, Evan Engram, and Irv Smith. Those should be your three kind of waiver wire additions I think are going to be available in more leagues than not. Do you have one of those you prefer more than others, Nick? I would say Logan Thomas gets a slight nod for me. We've seen his snaps and routes going up each of the first 2 weeks.
That's fair. I was probably going to go with Higbee, but I don't have any issue with
– Definitely, yeah. Definitely Higbee. I was saying between Thomas, Engram, and Irv.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, Logan Thomas. That's fine.
Cool. Yeah, definitely Higbee if you're able to still get him in those leagues. I don't want to be the guy that's like, yeah, you know, just go pick up this player that's, you know, only 10% available in a bunch of them. But I do think it's more than that. With the Bears, tight end Ryan Griffin is out with an Achilles injury, meaning Cole Kmet should play a near every down role, maybe even just, I don't know, catch a pass this week. Really doesn't matter. I mean, Griffin has gotten some targets away from Kmet, but Kmet's underlying numbers have been solid. Like, you would expect him to not even be out there. He is. He's been out there. He's just not getting the ball because, again, as that lovely Twitter account reminded us, Justin Fields, 33rd in pass attempts in a football league with just 32 teams. Packers tight end Mercedes Lewis, questionable with a groin injury. Small bump for Robert Tonyan if he's out, but the Packers and just what they do with under Matt LaFleur, they're still going to be using 3+ tight ends regardless. And Saints tight end Taysom Hill, officially questionable with a rib injury. While off the fantasy grid, Juwan Johnson, better play for desperate rosters. Just a few things around the league, more defensive stuff and, you know, maybe a lineman or two. But, yeah, talked about the Bills. Micah Hyde out with the neck injury. Jordan Poyer with the foot. I saw questionable, but if he's ruled out, that could very well happen.
I'll check on it.
In the meantime, I appreciate it. Cornerback Dane Jackson, he's out. He's joining Tre'Davious White on the sideline. And we got Ed Oliver and Jordan Phillips out. Tim Settle could also be sidelined. So, yeah, this Bills defense, number one in EPA allowed per play. Like, I was really expecting them to maybe give Tua and company just, you know, a hard time after such an incredible week 2 comeback from them. this point, though, I don't know how this, you know, your full backups are on the field. Going to be tough to slow down that offense. But on the other side of the ball, not very healthy either. Byron Jones still on the pup. Xavier Howard listed as questionable with that groin injury. Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, Josh Allen, all these guys. Don't be afraid to go to the bank. You are going to the bank. Absolutely every week. Ravens cornerback room remains banged up. Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, Demarion Williams, and Brandon Stevens all listed as questionable with various ailments. Hey, if there is going to be a time that Mac Jones and this Patriots passing game gets back on track, maybe it is this week. Jacoby Myers will be the one guy I would be willing to trust in season long. I would note my mismatch manifesto article. I like looking at combined pressure rates, and Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins was popping as the worst matchup of the week in terms of projected pressure. Now the Lions are 14th in pressure rate. So I think this is more so an indictment on just how the Vikings have struggled to protect Cousins over the first 2 weeks. But we do have number two overall pick Aiden Hutchinson questionable with a thigh injury, and their other DN John Kaminsky has already been ruled out. So Kirk Cousins has all day to throw now, you know, with Thielen and Justin Jefferson going up against these corners, more pass first offense. I do think finally, man, Adam Thielen could be back there finding the end zone. Fun stat I pulled today. Adam Thielen has not gone three straight regular season games, excluding the injured stuff, without a touchdown since 2018. I believe he's plus 165 anytime touchdown. Heard it here first. Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari, questionable and seems to actually have a decent chance to get back this week. Will be huge. We shall see. And also have Panthers cornerback Dante Jackson, questionable with that hamstring issue. Bad news against, you know, Chris Olave. I was ready to kind of wait a week on Chris Olave. Just as you said before, we've all heard the air yard stats and all that going on. But, man, now you put a hobble guy out there. He doesn't seem overly chalky on DraftKings, at least in terms of our projected ownership. Again, Jameis, Michael Thomas, Chris Olave, maybe even sprinkle a little Jarvis Landry. That's the kind of, again, underrated passing stack I'm feeling best about this week, Nick.
Yeah. So, okay, two follow-up points there. You are right. So apologies for the shoddy reporting here. Jordan Poyer, only questionable.
Okay.
But on the Olave point, I wanted to write up Jarvis Landry as a player to target this week just because of the slot cornerback matchup. But Olave's situation is too good. I didn't want to just zoom in on one guy there.
For sure, man. And hey, again, only 2 weeks since Landry went off. And I know in these early parts of the season, oh, it's like, if Kyle Pitts can't do it this week, when's he ever going to do it? I don't know. Probably week four in that case, if he can't get it done this week. So as much as, you know, it gets frustrating. And I know if you have Kyle Pitts out there and you're looking at that 0-2, God forbid it turns into an 0-3, it's really tough, but relax. Going to be okay. Just trust the process. So, Nick, great stuff, my friend, as always, on this lovely Friday edition of the PFF Fantasy Football Podcast. Other people know what they can find from you over at PFF.com.
Yeah, as always, we got the top five wide receiver cornerback matchups to target and avoid and the DFS cheat sheet. So go check those out.
Great. There. It'd be great. Again, follow Nick on Twitter at Nick Botterford NFL. You can find my quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, weekly positional breakdowns over at PFF. And if you just thought this injury information was good, guess what? I got a mini article I basically used as a show sheet that I said, hey, why should I write 2,500 words, Nick? Why should I write all those and then just say, okay, that was a cool prep? I decided to publish it this year, put a little more work into it. And now we have a cool article to go along with this cool podcast. So we've done it, everyone. We reached the end of week three on Friday. Go Ohio State. Going to beat those frauds up from Wisconsin all over the field Saturday night. Hope you guys had a fun, you know, Steelers-Browns experience on Thursday night. We got Cowboys freaking Giants on Monday night. That aside, though, should be a pretty fun Sunday slate. So really appreciate you guys tuning in. As always, and for Nick, I'm Ian. Thanks again for tuning to PFF Fantasy Football Podcast. Until next time, take care, everybody.